Good morning. You can find this in the Church Bibles on page 274. The Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
Reading is from John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51, and can be found on page 1064 of the Church Bible. The reading is entitled, "Jesus Calls Philip and Nathanael." The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
Thank you. Now let me let you into a little secret. Well, not much of a secret, actually. I'm still no good at sports anyway. I was absolutely hopeless at sports when I was at school, and I'd do anything to try and get out of it when I can. And I always dreaded it, you know, when the teacher said, right, we're going to pick the teams, you know, and they get people all together, and they say, right, I want these two people to pick who's going to go into their different teams, you know, and they say, well, I'll have him, I'll have her, and I'll have so-and-so. And, of course, I was always the last one to be picked. You know, there's no way that I'd ever get to do. And it was exactly the same when it came to being chosen to sing in the school choir, actually. I was one of the growlers, you know, so of course I never got anywhere at that. And of course it makes you feel a bit dejected, doesn't it, when you kind of always feel as if you're kind of at the bottom of the pile somehow, and you get a bit sort of despondent, and you never kind of think you're much good at anything. But you know, I want us to think today that the fact that when God looks at us, you know, he sees the potential in all of us. And I want particularly today to look at this this story of Nathanael and the way that God chose him. You know, I must admit, Nathanael's not someone you kind of hear very much about, really, but it's quite interesting, this encounter that that Jesus had of him. And I thought it'd be quite useful today just to have a kind of a proper look at this this passage and just to kind of see what God wants to tell us today about the way that he calls us and the way that that he uses us. So I've got sort of a few points really to share with you today to think about. So the first thing to say is that God chooses us. It's God that does the choosing. And I think it's true to say, and you know, somebody might correct me if I'm wrong, that Christianity is one of the only religions where to become a believer or a disciple, that you have to have a call. You know, none of the other religions, like Judaism or Islam or Buddhism or whatever, you know, it's about following the rules, isn't it? You have to do this and you have to do that and tick various boxes and things to fulfill the requirements of that that particular religion. But being a Christian works the other way round, that God calls us to follow him. You know, Jesus said to Nathanael, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. I had my eye on you whilst you were under the fig tree, even before Philip called you." You know, and you know, when you think about it, Jesus had obviously had his eye on Nathanael for quite some time. You know, Jesus had picked him out in advance for the things that he wanted him to do. And if you remember the story that we read in the Old Testament about Samuel, the way that God continually kept calling Samuel to follow him and preparing him for the things that he'd got stored up for him. And, you know, when you look at the way that God calls different people in both the Old and the New Testament, you know, he encounters them, doesn't he? He keeps talking to them until eventually they respond to follow him. You know, God goes out and looks for his followers. In verse 43 it says, "The next day Jesus went to Galilee. And finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" You know, God is interested in each one of us. And, you know, it's him who is the instigator of the call. You know, we forget sometimes, don't we, that God has his eye on you and me. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, all the millions and millions of people that there are in the world, you know, Jesus knows each one of us through and through, and he's got his eye on each of us, and he picks us out individually from the complete crowd of people that there are. And the thing is, you know, he looks for us in different ways, doesn't he? He uses different ways to call us and to lead us to him. You know, if you look at the Bible and some of the stories that we read about the way that Jesus calls different people, very few of them are exactly the same. There's always a different method, isn't there, that God uses to call people to himself. You know, if you look at people like David, about Moses, the way he called Peter, Elijah, Paul, Samuel, Isaiah, you know, you think of all the stories in the Bible that feature all of these different people. You know, Zacchaeus, you know, who he pointed to was up in that sycamore tree. All of them, God called in very, very different ways and in different circumstances. I'm sure if we went round the congregation here today, each of you would have a very different story to tell about how God has called you, or maybe how God has been challenging you, or has been calling you, but you've not perhaps got to that stage yet where you feel you want to respond. And it absolutely amazes me the variety of ways in which God engages with each one of us. You know, some of us have probably been able to say, like Paul, we had a kind of a road to Damascus type of experience, you know, where one minute we were doing all of those things and we had a complete turn and our lives completely changed out of all recognition. And I'm sure some of us would be sort of say, well, you know, my conversion, my call by God was a very gradual one and happened over a longish period of time and maybe over a number of years even. I know in my own case, you know, I was brought up by my mother, who taught me to church every week when I was little. I used to go to Tiny Tots when I was small. I was brought up in the Church of England, and, you know, I was christened and everything, and for many years, and I was a, you know, regular churchgoer. But it wasn't until my third year when I was a teacher at teacher training college that one evening I went along to an after youth Bible study. I was still young in those days, and they went round and they said, you know, well, how did you become a Christian? And each person gave their testimony as to how God had spoken to them, and it kind of, you know, the way they do creeping death, don't they? It kind of goes around the circle. It was getting to me, and I was beginning to think, well, have I really a true Christian? Have I really been saved? And it was at that time then that God actually spoke to me and, you know, really opened my eyes really as to what my faith was all about. And I think the thing is, there's no way of coming to God that's any better or any worse than anybody else's. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to compare ourselves with everybody else around us and think, you know, well, my conversion wasn't as good as that, or, you know, God doesn't use me quite in the same way that, you know, he does with so-and-so. But, you know, in all cases, God's the one who's instrumental in leading us to him. And he uses others, doesn't he, to bring us very often to him. You know, in Nathaniel's case, Philip was instrumental in bringing Jesus to him. But Philip didn't try and force Nathaniel, didn't sort of grab him by the throat and said, look, you know, you've got to believe. He simply said, in verse 46, come and see. Come and see. Come and have a look for yourself. Come and see Jesus. Look at, you know, what he is, who he is, what he's got to offer you. Make up your own mind. You know, sometimes I think, you know, when we talk about evangelism, you know, we kind of almost think that we've got to kind of go over the top, haven't we? And almost ram it down people's throats and, you know, really give it to people in the eye and almost kind of force them to believe in the things that we think are important. And we forget sometimes that we're the seed sowers and it's God who does the planting and the watering and the bringing people to him. And very often the results of our evangelistic efforts aren't seen for many, many years, maybe, after, you know, we've had contact with that particular person. You know, Philip just said, come and see, come and look for yourself. Come and see what Jesus has to offer you. You know, God has a big plan, and we're just a very, very small part of that. So God chooses us. God brings us to him in different ways, and he uses others to bring him to us. The other thing is that God uses the scriptures to point us to him. Because as well as getting Philip to come and get Nathanael to come to Jesus, the other thing that enabled Nathanael to believe was the scriptures, which in this case was the Old Testament. You know, there's many Christians I know today who try and avoid the Old Testament like the plague. You know, they just don't understand it. You know, they have real struggles, real difficulties with it. You know, all this fighting and killing and all the things that are going on in it. They think it just doesn't sort of square up with my interpretation. But God wants us to look at the whole of his word, doesn't he? And it's important that we spend time studying what God has written, what he wants us to understand. You know, Philip says to Nathanael, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. We found Jesus. He's the one that Moses wrote about all those thousands of years ago in the Old Testament, and whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth. I think it's amazing when you look at the whole of the Bible and look at the way all of the various bits in the Old Testament stitch together with the things in the New Testament as well. And it takes a lot of effort, doesn't it, I think, to read the Bible sometimes and to understand what God is trying to say to us. But, you know, it's one of the most important ways, I believe, that God calls us and helps us to grow and helps us to understand and to develop that relationship with him that he wants. You know, it's a sad fact, isn't it? You know, many churchgoers today don't pick up their Bibles from one Sunday to the next. You know, but the Bible's an important place, isn't it, for us to hear what Jesus has to say to us. The other thing about the way in which he called Nathanael was that he accepted Nathanael as he was. And God accepts each one of us as we are. The verses leading up to this episode of the calling of Nathanael, it also talks about the way in which some of the other disciples were called as well. And, you know, if you look at the group of disciples that Jesus had, they were a right ragbag of people, weren't they? You know, fishermen and different professions and different jobs and things. And many of them were uneducated people, you know, ordinary working people, fishermen who had to work hard to make a living. But it reminds us, doesn't it, that, you know, who you are, what you do, what your social status is, anything like that, isn't a deciding factor in the way that God calls people to him to do his work. You know, we should never think that we can't be used in some way or another by God to do the things that he wants us to do. You know, he calls people, doesn't he, from all walks of life, different personalities, different kinds of people. You know, think of how stubborn Jonah was. You know, God must have, you know, absolutely frustrated, mustn't have been, the way Jonah behaved, you know, and thinking, well, look, I've called you to do this work in preaching to the people at Nineveh, and look, you know, you're clear off to the other side of the world. You know, what about Peter? You know, who was always putting his foot in it, wasn't he? And always, you know, thwarting the things that God wanted him to do. And Moses, You know, he argued with God. You know, he said, look, God, you know, I'm just not worthy. You know, I haven't got the skills. I haven't got the wherewithal to do the things that you're asking me to do. You know, I'm sure all of us at some time or another have, you know, had a bit of an argument, had a bit of a row with God and, you know, given him a bit of a hard time. And of course here Nathaniel's problem was that he was what I would call blunt and outspoken. After I was a teacher for a little while, and I gave this up to become a civil servant actually, and one of the things about when the training that you get as a civil servant, well, I don't think you actually train to do it, but everybody does it, is not to be blunt and outspoken. You know, you have to kind of dress things up in a way that, you know, is very acceptable and, you know, sounds very kind of official and everything, you know. You've only got to look at what's happened, haven't you, with Kim Darroch and US ambassador and Donald Trump and everything, to see how the sort of blunt and outspoken bit kind of has blown up in the civil service's face a bit there. And I know a manager, a friend of mine, actually criticised a member of staff for calling a spade a spade. And he said, well, you should say it's a digging implement, not a spade. You know, if you looked at Yes Minister, for example, those of you who remember Yes Minister, you know, it's about the way you kind of wrap things up. And Nathaniel was a person who called a spade a spade. Because when he found Jesus, and he found out that Jesus was from Nazareth, the very first thing he said was, what, Nazareth? You know, does anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, it's a bit like us people in Kettering used to say a few years ago, you know, Corby. It's a bit of a right dump, Corby is. But, of course, everybody says the opposite way around, actually. Everybody in Corby says now that Kettering's a bit of a dump. But, you know, Jesus didn't have a go, did he, at Nathaniel for his blunt and outspokenness. He took him as he was. And he saw him as a straightforward, honest person. Someone who says it as it is. And in verse 47, I think Jesus gives him a big compliment here. He says, this is what he says. He says, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And I want to ask you the question this morning, could Jesus say the same about you and me? You know, here is a person in which there is no deceit. You know, do we try and give God a load of flannel sometimes, or the way that we present ourselves to other people is different from the way that we really are? You know, we forget sometimes, don't we, that, you know, Jesus can see straight through us. You know, we can see our sort of way that we dress things up and, you know, we call a spade a digging implement rather than being, you know, blunt and outspoken and direct with him, telling Jesus how it is, you know, the kind of people that we are, you know, confessing our sins to him, confessing our weaknesses to him. You know, Jesus had seen Nathaniel sitting there under the fig tree before he called him. You know, sometimes blunt honesty is the right thing, isn't it? You know, very often as Christians, we have a tendency, don't we, to be a bit nicey-nicey with people and try and dress things up, you know. And if anybody says anything that's a bit not as everybody talk to them, you know, they're upsetting the apple cart and thing. But, you know, God wants us to be as we are, doesn't he? To be honest and open with him and with those around us. The last thing is that God promises greater blessings and greater insights when he calls us. It's the start of a journey. You know, at the very end of the encounter that Jesus had with Nathaniel, Jesus said to him, look, you'll see greater things than this. Very truly, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It's probably a reference. You remember Jacob in the Old Testament had the vision, didn't he, of the angels going up and down from heaven on a ladder or a stairway. You know, and Jesus was promising Nathanael a similar kind of vision in the days to come. You know, he could see that, you know, greater things were in store for Nathanael. You know, the call, it wasn't just a call that was going to stop there, it was the start of a much greater and a much longer journey. And he wanted to help Nathanael to develop his faith and to give him something to egg him on to look forward to. You know, sometimes when things aren't going too well for us, you know, we look at ourselves and think, you know, more and more faith, it doesn't sort of seem to be going anywhere, does it? You know, I'm not kind of doing much at all, you know, and things, you know, well, I'm not making much progress. But we forget, don't we, that God can see the potential in each one of us. You know, he can see behind our facade. And Jesus saw great potential in Nathanael. And he can see great potential in us. You know, God wants us to be responsive to God, to be listening to the things that God's trying to tell us day by day. You know, some of us were called by God maybe many years ago, God didn't just shut up then and, you know, we haven't heard from him since. You know, God wants us to talk to him day by day. God wants us to hear his voice day by day. He wants us to talk to him day by day, doesn't he? It's an ongoing relationship so that we can serve him and he can prepare us for the things that he's got ahead in the coming days. Amen. I want to read to you a few verses from Isaiah chapter 43. Because it just reminds us that when God calls us, he's always there for us in all of the different situations. So let's just listen to these words of the prophet. And it's an Old Testament reading, this, isn't it? You know, and the prophet, you know, this is a message that's not just for the people of Israel at that particular time in their history, but this is God's word, and it's a message for you and for me today. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour.